please don't push me. Please don't push me, but y'all push B. Now we got dwellers from Cali to Flatbush B. Now they got heat on they feet that say press B. And now we so deep in the streets, y'all can't stress me. Can't curse me, then bless me. I'm crucifying my flesh, that's less me. SAT'd from preaching, can't test me. Atheists are now believing, that bless me. Yeah, we got the basement replacing any of those worldly pursuits that y'all chasing. Any of those trials and tests that y'all facing. Any of the relationships that y'all changing. We rearranging, making the shame shift. Giving Satan back what's his, that's the blame shift. Rise up and walk commands, that's the lame shift. Cheat codes for living this life, that's the game shift. All on Yeshua, man, the rest is manure, man. I'm dying daily, so I rise up a purer man. Pressing B daily, so my sins looking fewer, man. Washing the blood, so my sins down the sewer, man. Yeah, so press B with me, and let's let whatever gon' be just be. Yeah, so press B with me, and let's let whatever gon' be just be.
So excited. Oh, I'm so excited for today. Let me tell you how excited I am for today. I had to pull out the red frames. The red frames just came into the family. I had to put them on today because red symbolizes love. Yes. It can symbolize sacrifice. It can symbolize blood. But today, it symbolizes love. And the love of my life, yay, is here. Oh, I would be remiss if I didn't say shout out to Press B, shout out to Dweller, shout out to Promoter, shout out to iTunes, shout out to Spotify listeners. All y'all, I love y'all. My girlfriend's here, man.
Yay.
Yay. Listen, my beautiful,
so glad to be here,
wife is here. I got my thoroughest girl with me. It's trippy how hard she ride with me. The new Bobby and Whitney. Only time we don't speak is during Sex in the City. She get Kelly fever, but as soon as the show's over, she right back to being my soldier. Cause mommy's a rider and now I'm a roller. Put us together. How you gonna stop both us? Yeah. Whatever I do, she's right over my shoulder.
It's true. For 25 years.
Yes, for 25 years. My girl is here. Yay. All I need in this life of sin is me and my girlfriend. Me and my girlfriend. Down the ride to the very end. It's me and my girlfriend.
Me and my boyfriend.
Oh.
That's B sings that
part.
Yeah,
that's your part. Oh, don't.
Hi, Dwellers.
I don't think you can mention B right now because people are getting rebuked for going to the concert.
I just said B. That could have been anybody.
That's very true. Yeah, it could have been
Barbara.
It could have been Barbara.
Barbara's part.
It could have been Beth.
Yeah, it could have been.
You know what I'm saying? It could have been Beatrice. It could have been Betty. You know what I'm saying? There's some Bettys out there.
There are some Bettys still.
I think I met a Betty that was like under 30.
Did you meet a Betty under 30?
I think I did.
I knew a girl named Betsy. And she was like 24.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's
Betsy,
right.
Betsy, that's
Yeah.
She's like 24.
Yeah, that name should have cycled out in the 50s or the 60s.
It's true. But sometimes they name kids after their grandmothers and their to honor them. And
that's
their,
true.
And their great-grandmothers. And so.
Yeah, if there's like any like.
It might
like,
be a Mabel out there. Or
holy
Pearl.
Cow. If there, man.
Maybe.
If there's like a 25, 30-year-old Mabel.
Mabel.
Holy cow. Or a Pearl.
Yeah, they're honoring their grandparents. I'm sure of it.
Yo, if sure I need it. Somebody to hit the chat, I need somebody to Instagram. I need an email. I need snail mail. If your name is Mabel,
yeah, there's nothing wrong with Mabel
or Pearl.
Pearl,
and you are under 40,
under 35,
under 35. Listen,
that's worth snail mail.
I'm shocked. The name is dope. I'm not mad at the name. I'm just saying I don't know
it's
any.
It's just hard to, you don't hear them much
I don't
anymore.
Know about any Mabels that's.
That's young.
That's young. That's crazy.
I'm just so glad to be here with you.
Baby, I love you.
And with the Dwellers. I love the Dwellers.
And they love you, baby.
They're so great.
With your pretty self.
Thank you, sweetheart.
They're so beautiful.
They are fabulous. And I'm so glad to be able to chat with them today. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, it is fun. Anytime you're on, first of all. Our ratings just go crazy. The viewership goes up. And that's because
when anybody comes on.
No,
they're good.
But with you, there's an amalgamation of wisdom and eye candy. That's what I think it is. Like, I know that, like, you're a woman of wisdom. Like,
thank you.
God's giving you a gift of wisdom. He's giving you an incredible gift of discernment. My wife can see through lead, y'all. This is the wrong, I'm going to tell you now, this is the wrong one. I'm like, I love everybody, and I'd be like, I believe the best in them. And Juliet be over there in the corner like, mm-mm. Juliet be doing this here. They off.
Not the hand.
No, that's what you be doing. Juliet be going like this. Something they spirit is off. And then I'd be like, nah, baby, I think they're cool. And she's like, they can't come here. Don't bring them to my house. She get possessed. Don't bring them to my house. Then she'd be like, you can meet that little friend up the street. Juliet has a list.
Many times.
You have. She. I'm not lying.
This is true.
This is big facts.
This is true. I'll be like, yeah, they can't come over.
Mm-hmm.
This person can't. They can come back anytime. That person, meet them somewhere.
It's very true.
It is true. You're right.
And, you know, a lot of.
You got to protect your sanctuary.
No, it's very true.
Because people are crazy.
It's very true, baby. You're right.
You got to protect your
sanctuary. And
kids.
I did, you know, some people say, you know, or you've heard the phrase coined that, oh man, he married his mom, or he married, mm-hmm. she married his dad, her dad. I married my mom, like, in terms of attributes and characteristics. Like, some people are like, oh my God, I dread if I were to marry my mother. Listen, my mama used to tell me, this friend can come over, that friend cannot come over. And who did I marry? Somebody else telling me which of my friends can come over and which of my, and let's not say they're all my friends. It's just, I believe in people.
I believe in people too.
Yeah. I don't
believe in some people from a distance.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, you do.
You know, like, and here's the thing. Tim is so emo, and everybody that Tim brings around, they're always so great. Right. So from Tim's perspective, because he loves everybody, he's got such a big heart. They're always so wonderful.
I believe the best about them.
Yeah. And for whatever reason, I sometimes don't always see the best in them. And I kind of see, like, how they are. They don't have good intention. And he just embraces everybody. I'm like, yeah, not over here, though. You know what I mean? But then I know in time, he may not see it right away, that they end up showing their butt. And they all do. Every one of them has. But you got to let people, you know. Don't say let people.
You got to let me.
Okay.
Don't try to generalize it now. You started with Tim.
All right. I have to let him see, because you know what I mean? He has to see it sometimes for himself. So every now and then I'd be like, Timmy, you're wasting your time with them. But he has such a big heart. And then later on, it's like, okay, you were right. Then so it is what it is.
Yeah, it's true.
It is what it is.
It's true. I ain't mad.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you're here.
I'm glad to be here.
And we're just going to do, I don't know how many pods we're going to do, but we're just going to do a few. Let's just say a few. Maybe we'll say several. I don't know which one. It'll be a few or it'll be several.
A few and several are both more than two.
Well, two is a couple.
That's right.
A few is around five. I would say between, you know, four to six, and several to seven and above. So
still more than two.
Yeah, but I...
I'm messing with you, baby.
A few or several.
I'm messing with you.
She is, because I'm a literalist, and she knows this. Literally.
He gets technical about every holy little thing. I'm like, listen, boy.
It's just a thing. It's just my thing. I'm
he didn't
so
used
sorry.
To always be that way. You developed that over time.
No, it's always been there. It's just I became more unspoken the more comfortable I got in my skin.
That's what it is.
Yeah, that's what it was. All right, so baby girl. In this first one, because everybody's been asking it, like, do some relationship stuff,
sure,
do some
I'm
relationship
here for
stuff,
it.
Stuff. Let's talk about stuff. But I wanted us to give people our origin story.
Let's go.
Like, because they've heard it from my standpoint, but I just kind of want to slow roll it. Mm-hmm. And if the whole pod is just us slow rolling it, I just want people to have, like, a foundation.
Absolutely.
In the same way when, yeah. That way, as, you know, anything else we talk about, at least they have the foundation of kind of, sure. Like, where we came from and stuff.
Sure.
And I'm thinking, like, the first episode, the very first episode of The Basement.
Okay.
The only thing I did was talk about the vision.
That's right.
That the Lord gave me about the basement. And then subsequently, like, you know, you listen to all the other ones that you want to.
Sure.
So, like, I just want to go back to our origin story and and be able to talk about it from both sides. Because they hear my side and they be like, well, I wonder what Juliet was thinking. Or, all the girls want to know, how should I respond to a dude that's like super forward or, you know, whatever. So So let's go back to the beginning. All right. So here's what had happened, right?
26 years ago is the beginning.
Is it 26?
Yeah, because we would have, it had been 25 years 25. Ago.
Yeah, it was 25.
From the beginning, and then 24 years ago. This year we'll be married. So, yes, 25 years ago.
All right, so let's go back 25 years. It's February of, because, you know, I got all the timeline.
You do have all the timelines, and I will say this. He's very good with dates, like his mother. He's very, very good with the dates. And I would be like roundabout. Let me just throw this in there really quick. I'm like almost a close to. Let me throw this in there really quick. Our wedding date is May 1st simply because I needed an easy date to remember. I needed something that I wouldn't forget. I mean, how could you forget our anniversary? I was like, we cannot get married on like the 13th of a month or like the 27th. It's just a terrible date. I need something easy.
That date got pushed back like 5 times. And I'm like, every time it got pushed back, I'm like, then we're not having sex until this date? No, we're not
having sex until this date. That was his only concern. That was his only concern.
I just thought, why? This is terrible. Like, it could be on a leap year. I don't care. Why won't you marry me?
I didn't want to be that girl that was like, I forgot our anniversary date because it was on an odd number.
Oh, my God.
I needed something easy.
It hurt.
And then he wanted it on April 15th. I'm like, that's tax day. You don't want to have an anniversary on tax day. Like, no. So the next available time was May 1st.
Lord have
mercy.
And
it was like, okay, this is great. May 1st, I can remember the first date.
Oh, my God. It's true. All right, so heated with me. What had happened was February 98, I'm minding my own business. We're at youth group. And our youth pastor was preaching or whatever, and he had a strong prophetic gift. You know, he would, you know, prophesy over people sometimes.
Yes, he did. Yeah, he did.
And so after the service was over, you know, the preaching ended, and if you grew up in church, there's like ministry time. You know what I mean?
Oh,
yeah. And he would call people out, like, you come up here, and then like he'd get a word of knowledge or he'd get a prophetic word. Yeah. And I was kind of like working the altar. And so my back is turned to the platform and I'm like praying for some people or whatever. And he's like prophesying over this person. And he starts saying, God's going to do this and God's going to do that. And my back is turned. So I can only hear it. But everything he was saying to this person, I had journals of God speaking that to me. Like, and other people giving me prophetic words that this was what's going to happen in my life. And so I'm like, maybe he's talking to me, but my back is turned. So I turn around. He's talking to her. It's my first time. I've never laid eyes on her in my life. And I turn around and I see her. And I'm like, this is the finest girl I've ever seen in my entire life. And I felt like the Holy Spirit said to me, that's your wife. And I was like, thank you. So I'm not lusting, right? Like, so this isn't lust because I'm looking, she's gorgeous, like stunning.
He's very kind.
Well.
And kindly complimentative.
Well, this is no cap. I was like, now this was a church service, you know what I mean? But listen, I am in the flesh. And I am made of flesh. And so it's a spiritual moment going on. All I saw was that booty.
Oh, God.
And I was like, Lord, have mercy. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, Lord.
I hope this word is right. Like, I hope this ain't me. You know what I mean? So that was February 98. She has no idea that I see her at all. Okay. And so I just started looking for her subsequent weeks. At church, and I just watched her all of the rest of February, all the rest of March. I was hoping she would be at church, and if she was, then I was, who is she? who is she with? Who I just want to see, like, what other females is she surrounding herself with? Juliet was solo dolo. Juliet is the oldest soul. I think her being in youth group was like charity work. Because I know for a fact, like, we were beneath her. Like she's like, these mere youth. Because this girl's soul is like 118.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, well, let me pause you really quick to add to that. What's funny about him saying that is, you know, that youth group was still a little new at the time.
It was.
It was fairly new at the time. And I had been at that church from before that youth group even
started.
Was there.
Yeah.
And I was always in the main sanctuary with the adults. And I was only, 18? I was 19. And
were 18.
They had started the youth ministry. And I'd been over there to just, the adults in the main sanctuary was like, you need to go into the youth, like, just go over there. I was like, yeah, no, I don't want to go over there. Like, why? I'm fine here. And they made me go over there. Like, no, just go be a part. And I was like, why? Why am I going over there? And so they made me go to the youth ministry. And so I was like, fine, if I go, I'm only volunteering.
She graced us with her presence. This is exactly what Juliet did. She graced us with her presence. Now, what's
so funny?
What needs to be said and mentioned, which Juliet usually doesn't mention, is that Juliet gave her life to Jesus when she was 9. And she went to Bible college when she was 14. They let her in just off passion and zeal and the fact that you just had a hunger for the word.
Yeah.
So I don't know what other 14-year-old girls was doing in Florida. Juliet was at Bible school.
Yeah, and I was already traveling and doing ministry work.
That's right. She was traveling with an evangelist doing ministry work. And so, yeah, this was your life.
Yeah, so I think, you know, back then, so now 4 or 5 years later, you know, going into youth ministry was like, what am I, you know, I'm not like, I don't have youthy issues, right? Like, at the time.
That I was don't have mindset. Youthy issues. Juliet's like, I'm a virgin. I've never been drunk. I don't smoke, drink, chew, or hang with those that do. Why am I here?
Oh, my goodness.
What is the plight of this generation?
It is not the case. So
I literally spied, kept an eye, cautiously stalked. I don't know if you can cautiously stalk somebody. That probably sounds creepy, but
I didn't know.
I just watched her. And she carried a huge Dakes Bible.
Oh, it's my favorite.
Dakes Bible has like 100,000 hours of study notes. And I'm like, what teenager walks around with a Dakes Bible? Oh. This is crazy. But she did.
I have 3 of them. They're my favorite. And they're like those big family Bibles. Like the Dakes Bible is like at this big.
It's craziness.
It's my craziness. Favorite Bible.
Yep. So April comes around. She's volunteering, serving her generation for charity, because she's clearly not like us, right?
Oh my goodness!
She's serving her generation for charity.
Well, you know he's over exaggerating quite a bit.
Look at it. Quite a bit.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
You think so?
I did enjoy going to the youth.
You did? Did you? Did you really, babe?
Yes, or else I wouldn't have been there.
But you had to be there. I didn't know you enjoyed it.
I mean, they suggested I went over there, and I did. I enjoyed it. I stayed.
You did stay.
See, I didn't have to go.
So she was on the they had like a youth student council deal, leadership something.
Yeah, it was like
leadership. And because I was serving the youth pastor at the time, and I got on that same council. Well, everybody in the little student body union, whatever you want to call it, right? Little leadership group. Everybody had to have everybody else's number. So I got her number, you know, because
he just handed me this notepad and this pen. And I'm telling you from like that, I had never seen him before. I had never.
And I've been watching her for two months now.
I wasn't paying any attention to him. Like, you know, I just wasn't. In February, I had just ended a relationship, and I had said, you know what, Lord, I am, I'm good. Like, I don't want to fool with nobody. My eyes are here for you. I don't want any distractions. And so I'm mind over matter. So I'm pretty much a woman of my word. If I say I'm done, I'm done. And so it was like I had blinders on. I was not paying attention to nobody except me and my Dake's Bible. And so when he came into this meeting, it was almost like he just handed me this pen and his pad, and I was like, oh, this is a new kid, right? Like, okay, maybe, you know, this is like a new guy. What does
that mean? Do you see how old her soul is?
I just thought,
oh, there's a new kid in our youth group.
Okay, there's a new young man here that I don't know. I knew everybody else. And he handed me this pen and pad. I just assumed it was to get my number because he didn't know. So I just put my name and number on there and gave it back to him. I didn't think anything else mm-hmm. of it.
Yeah.
But that was my assumption because he was new. Now, I thought he was brand new. I had no idea he'd been there since February.
I actually have been there since 97. I'd never seen her. She had never seen me.
Never. So
let's
so this is 98.
Yeah, this is 98.
Yeah.
So let's highlight that though.
I mean, I'm just thinking about that right now.
Yeah, let's highlight that. She ends a relationship in February 98 and says
was that 98?
Yeah, you said.
Yeah, I did say that.
She ends this relationship that she was in February 98. I see her in February 98. Right? So That's pretty cool. And so I get her number in April, and I start calling her under the guise of, hey, we're in the same youth group. I just wanted to hear her breathe. I just wanted to be on the phone with her. Like, my heart palpitated every time I was on the phone with this girl. Whew, I mean, even thinking about it, I'm just like, geez. Like, I was just, from the day I looked at her, I'm like, Lord, just don't, please don't be pranking me. Like, please let this, I hope this was you that really said this to me. So you're talking to her on the phone, just great conversation. We had we bonded a lot in common. A lot not in common, but just learning each other and talking, but not like dating or anything, just like a friend, like sure. a genuine friend. Like she was a cool girl to talk to. Like, I enjoyed talking to her on the phone. That lasted all of about 2 weeks. And then I'm like, I like this girl. Like, I don't know if she liked me back. And so in May, I'll never forget talking to my cousin Christy about this. I'm like, I like this girl. And I got to tell her. Like, if I don't tell her I like her, and if she's dating somebody, I'm going to be pissed off. Like, I got to tell her, you know, and she's like, just tell her. And at least you'll know. And Christy is such a sweetheart. She was like, at least you'll know. And, you know, if she likes you back, then all good. And she'll giggle, you know. And if she don't, then what are you going to do? And I'm like, I'm going to die a little bit inside is what I'm going to do, you know. So I'll never forget in May of 1998. I keep saying
2000. Yeah. No, it's 98.
This is 98, not 2018. In 1998, okay? Yeah. In 1998, May, I call her. I called her and I was like, hey, I got to tell you something. I was like, it might ruin our friendship. You know, you may not want to be my friend no more. I was like, but I got to tell you, I'm very intrigued by you. Those are my words.
Those are his words. Uh-huh. I'm intrigued by you.
I was like, I'm very intrigued by you. And I like you more than a friend. I was like, I'm not telling you I like you for you to tell me you like me. But I'm just telling you so that you can know. Like, I need you to know that I like you more than a friend. And if you are, I don't know if you're dating anybody. I don't know if you have a boyfriend, whatever. I don't know what your relational status is. But if you are with somebody, I just need you to know that I'm going to be pissed off. Like, I'm going to be really upset. And I'm not going to want to be your friend. Not because I don't like you, but if I like you more than a friend, and if you're dating somebody, I can't just be your friend. You know how some people try to, they express their desire or their intent, and then when it's not reciprocated, they're like, oh, it's all good, we'll still be friends. I'm not gonna be, I can't be your genuine friend. I'm gonna be praying you break up with your boyfriend and scales fall from your eyes and you fall in love with me. So I just had to tell you all of that up front so you knew, because so that was my side.
That was your side. And at the time, you know, how he said it, he was very, you know, he was trying to be very tactful about it, you know, and he was like, I just want you to know. He was very cool. I just want you to know that, you know, I like you more than a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope it doesn't change anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this is probably going to sound harsh on my side, but I was just like, what I told him was, I said, okay, it won't change anything.
That was her response.
That's all I said.
That's all she said.
It just won't change anything.
And then it went silent.
Yeah, I didn't elaborate.
Yeah, no, yeah, that was the end, like, period.
That was it. I can elaborate here, but at the time I did not elaborate because I didn't need to. I didn't owe him anything. He called to tell me how he felt. But I didn't have those sentiments for him. He was just a friend. So at the time, you know, he was a friend. But I always had a lot of male friends. I love male friends because they were just cool. And I didn't have a lot of girlfriends. They just always had a lot of drama. They was always crying about something. I was just like, oh my gosh. They were always like, thought they were just feeling themselves. I was just like, I can't. But the guys were always so cool and so chill. So I thoroughly enjoyed having guy friends. But that was May. You told me that, right? So February, March, April, May. All right. So from February, I said that I had just, you know, earlier that I had broken off with one relationship. But actually, I was talking to about three dudes that I was like, listen, I'm, you know, and one of them still kept trying to call back, right? They all wanted to get married. They all were.
All three had proposed.
They were proposing and get married. And I was just like, y'all, I'm too young. They all each had a kid. I was like, yo, I'm 19. Like, y'all, what is y'all doing?
And what was their average age?
We ain't talking about all that.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we are, because you was 19.
Yeah.
And these dudes, how old were they?
Okay, the oldest, one of them was, what, I think 26 was one. The other one was 29. No, one was 30. How old did I tell you they were?
One was in their 30s.
Yeah, one was in their 30s. One was like 14 years older than me. And they all were just, you know, because I worked in a bank. And before I worked in the bank, I worked for Neiman Marcus. And so, listen, it was very kind of them.
Listen, you know, when you walk, and this is back in the day when you had to walk in the bank, not the like automated teller, you just feeding your checks and, you know, putting your credit card in. You walk in a bank and see her behind the doggone, you like, I'm making a deposit every day of a dollar. I'm taking $100 bills and splitting it up into singles. I'm walking in every day like, I need to deposit $1 at that teller right there. They're like, these four are open. I want that teller right there. No, yeah. No, she had a bunch of dudes.
Well, and they were so kind. And I was not trying to be, I never wanted to be married. I wasn't one that wanted to be married. I was like, yeah, I'm good. You know what I mean? I am good. I enjoyed being single. I enjoyed dating. But these guys, they were all so great. They all had their own cars. They had their own jobs, or some of them worked well. They were great. Each of them had something that it was just like, you got to ask your mama. Like, all right, I can't, you know. One of them, they was trying to have me move in with them. I was like, you know, we're not doing that. And so they all wanted to get married. And I was just like, y'all, I am 19. And I think they kept forgetting that. And so by the time he said, you know.
That's what happened when you find.
No, babe.
Age ain't nothing but. Oh, never mind. Mm-mm.
So I think by the time Tim was like, you know, I like you more than a friend, it was just like, I was just enjoying being your friend.
None of these guys' names was Robert, right?
No.
Okay.
Nobody named Robert.
You dodged Mr. Kelly. Praise
Are
God.
You kidding me?
Well, you were probably too old by that time.
Oh, please. Oh, that was so terrible. No, these were all very nice gentlemen. Mm-hmm. Like, they were all very nice men. So, you know, at that point when he was like, you know, I like you more than a friend, it was just like, okay, you know, it ain't going to change nothing, but we're either going to be a friend, you know what I mean, or that's it. So whether I'm with somebody or not, this is just going to stay where it is. And if you, in my head, if you choose not to talk to me anymore, that's fine. I'm going to keep it moving because I was set on, yeah, it don't matter, you know. So I really was not checking for anybody at the time. I just really wasn't.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed talking to him. You know what I mean? He was good to talk to. He was definitely very good to talk to. And some of the other guys were still trying to connect, but it was like, yeah, nah, I'm good. Yeah. So that's why I didn't say anything to him more of, oh, I'm not talking to anybody. You know, it was all complicated. You know, it was complicated.
Yeah, no. So I felt like that wasn't a red light.
Yeah.
Right? She didn't come out and say, like, if you were the last person on earth, I would never. You know what I mean?
No.
And she did not give that green light of, absolutely, I'm not talking to nobody. I'm available. I've been feeling you too. No, it was, this won't change our friendship. That's a yellow light. You know what I'm saying? And yellow lights are for you to proceed with caution. Mm-hmm. You know, so.
I didn't over-explain.
Over-explain. And I didn't over-pursue. Like, you know what I mean? At that point, I wasn't like, all right, cool. Then.
You just said what you called to say.
You know, so you're saying there's a chance, right? None of that came up. You know what I mean?
I know.
So we just kept it cool. We just kept it cool, kept talking, kept vibing. And then a month later.
We kept it cool talking to Vibe for 30 days.
Yeah. We kept it cool for about three or 4 weeks. And then a month later, I'll never forget, on Father's Day, it was on a Sunday, and I guess the 21st. And then we went to, there was a service that night. And I went to Hallmark and, not Hallmark, I just went to, you know, the grocery store in the aisle where all the cards are. And I was just looking for, like, which card expresses really what I want to say. I think I was in that grocery store for 2 hours. That's how many cards, because I'm a hopeless romantic and I'm a wordsmith. And so I'm like, who wrote this card? You close. And so I found the closest one I could with a really good blank page on the inside of the card. And I filled the left side of that card
up. Sure did.
I wrote everything I felt and I put it in the card. And before the service started that night, I walked up to her and I handed her the card and I was like, I want you to read this, you know, and then I disappeared. I'm like,
he hands me this card and then he's gone. He walks away.
I risked it all, man.
Not to return again.
I put my life on the line. I had to go away. Because if I was going to be rejected, it couldn't be real time. It couldn't be look at the car, look at me and be like, never in front of people. I had to disappear. So we went through the service. And then after the service, I walked her to her car and I was like, did you read the card? And she was like, yeah, I read it. She was like, but I want you to read it to me. She handed it back to me.
Okay, so this is part A. This is Jimmy's side of the story. So let's get a little bit more background in. At this point in our relationship, we are really good friends.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed hanging out with him. He was a really good friend. I did not like him more than a friend, but we hung out all the time. We had another couple that we hung out with and went out often with, and we just had a good, we had a great time. We were like, we never classified our relationship. We were just really good,
really good
friends.
We tight.
And so that's just what that was. I did not look at him anything more than that. And so he hands me this card, my friend, okay? Hands me this card and walks away. And so I read this card, and it's the most beautiful words, right? And so he literally, he poured his heart out on this card. Now, mind you, this entire time from April, no, when'd you talk to me? You talked to me in April? When'd you talk to me?
The first time that I said hi to you and we talked was in April.
Okay, was in April. Yep. All right, so 30 days ago. No, June now. This is Father's Day.
Yeah, this is June. This is
two months. 2 months now has gone by. I told you he's much better with the dates. Mm-hmm. 2 months have gone by, and we're really, really good friends, have hung out. And on this card, my good, good friend is like expressing his love. And he's saying the most beautiful words. Like, he can write, okay? He can write some words, all right? He can lay some words down and throw some poetry on a paper and sprinkle it with some glitter.
Hey,
okay?
Come on now.
So that's what he did. And he, on that left side, he expressed to me, you know, how much he loved me, and that I could search all over and I'll never find anybody to love me like he loves me, and all these most beautiful things. It was beautiful. And then at the very end, he put, "I, Timothy Charles Ross, am in love with you." Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
That's exactly right.
And so this was the beginning of service. I looked at the card. I read it. And then I closed the card back. And then I put it in a chair. That's what I did. And so then praise and worship started. And I started praise and worship. I had church service. And I looked around and he was nowhere to be found. I was like, okay, how you gonna? So my mindset was, don't come give me this card. Express all of a sudden out the blue this maddening love and then run away. So I was like, yo, that's a punk move. You gonna say this, you gonna tell this to me, you know what I mean? So that's, but I'm from New York, right? So it was like, no, if you gonna say something like this, tell me. And so it was very, the card was nice, but I was like, okay, I have a church service, I gotta be here in the presence of the Lord. So then church is over. And then he comes back and he's like, did you read the card? Now, mind you, this is my friend. My friend ain't got no job, no car, no nothing.
Facts.
In between, he wore tube socks up to his mid-calf with some sandals.
Facts.
He had a mini afro with no hairline.
Facts.
he was just a guy friend, right? Nothing. He was just my friend. And so, but he was my friend. What he had was still my friend, right? Mm-hmm. All of his nothings, he was still my friend. And so we were walking to the car because I picked him up to go to church. Because he didn't have a car.
Facts.
So I had to pick
Facts.
Him up to go hang out. You know, I had to pick him up to go to
Facts. All facts.
Yeah, it wasn't a thing. That didn't bother me. That did not bother me. A job is a job. You can get that. You can have it and you can lose it. Money can come and go. You can have it one day and lose it all the next. So none of those things bothered me, right? But I kept hanging around with him because his heart was right and his spirit was right. He was a good person. So we're walking back to the car, and it's a lot of people went to this church. So it was a long walk back to the car. And so he's like, so did you read the card? Yes, I read it. And I was like, but I want you to read it to me. Like, you read it to me. So he took the card back. He was like, I don't need to read the words that's on this card. He's like, I know these words. I'm going to just say it to you.
Yeah. I said, I don't need to read the words that I wrote on this card because these words are written on my heart.
Uh-huh. That's what he said. Always, always got a poetry in his heart. And so he began to express to me. And then so he is just gushing with these most beautiful words and expressing and pouring out his heart to me. And as soon as he is done, then he's telling me.
And I ended all those words with looking her dead in her retina. I, Timothy Charles Ross, am in love with you.
Yep.
Yep. Those were the last thing I said. And then.
Oh my gosh. I burst out laughing. I couldn't keep it together.
Like, she heard
hysterically
the best joke
on the planet.
She laughed like
I laughed hard.
Dave Chappelle, Chris Rock, Kevin Hart, Joe Coy,
I did Sebastian Maniscalco.
Sebastian. Everybody. Nick. I can't think of Nick's last name.
I don't know.
If they all got together and wrote the best joke of all time, that's how she laughed.
That's how I was laughing. And the way we laugh in our family, we laugh, we are crying tears.
And the cackle goes up octaves. Cackling. And then they think about why they're laughing and then it's laugh funny harder. Again.
Oh, it's the laugh can go at least a good 10 to 15 minutes.
It can.
Easy.
It can.
Easy.
It's really weird.
We embrace joy in our family. And to me, that was
is that what that
so,
is?
That was, that was joy. Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
I laughed. We made it to the car. I laughed. I was on the floor by the tire of the car laughing hysterically. I just couldn't believe it. And so I know people out in Dweller Land are like, why did you laugh in this guy's face? Probably the ultimate rejection. But at 19, I just kept thinking, what do you mean you're in love with me? Like, I couldn't understand the concept of how is this guy in love with me? Like, in, like, madly in love? I thought it was, like, I was like, this guy is in a dream. You know what I mean? Like, you don't even know me like that to be in love with me. It was so over the top. You know what I mean? Now, I know the other gentleman that I've dated, I wasn't in love with them. You know what I mean? Like, there was no love there. They were nice guys, but I was like, yeah, there
did
was
they
no love.
Ever expressed to you the way I expressed to you? Not comparatively, but were they like, I am in love with you and da 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 in the same kind of way? Or
they never said they were in love with me.
Got you.
They never used those words, they were in love with me. But they were like, man, I can't get enough of you. Like, I just want to be with you for the rest of my life. They said all the things. Mm-hmm. Around it, you mm-hmm. know, I want you to live with me. I want you to be a part of my. I don't want to have anybody else. Mm-hmm. You know, it was those types of words. They never said they were in love with me. I think I would have ran away if they said those words.
Gotcha.
But they kind of said everything around it.
Yep.
And but I didn't want to be. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I was over them.
Yeah.
And so, so that's why when you were like, I'm in love with you. I was like, it was too big.
Yep.
It was like, nobody says those words. I'm like, I'm 19. What are you saying? You know what I mean? Like, you're in love when you're 40. You know, you're in love when you're 30. I thought it had like a time and age. And I always think that kids that are in love so early, it's like puppy love. It's not genuine. You know, there's been no time to bake. It's only been 2 months. So how could you truly be in love with me by only spending 2 months with me? So that's why I laughed it down. I'm like, you don't know me and I'm just a kid. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a kid myself. What is happening? So that's where the laughter came from. I'm like, yo, this guy is out of his mind. You know what I mean? Like, how are you in love with me? So I just couldn't understand that concept. So I thought it was the funniest. I thought it was funny. I was like, yo, this guy, he's lost it. You know? And so I tried to tell him in the nicest way at the time. At the time, like, yo, I love you as a friend. Like, we're driving in the car. I'm taking him home. And I was like, yo, God forbid, if you were to die, I go to your funeral. I don't go to people's funerals. So that was like a big sign of love.
Another privilege.
I don't deal with the departed. All right.
I came to the youth group. If you die, I'll go to your funeral. Thanks, Jew. You're awesome.
Oh my gosh. I know it sounds bad, but at the time, I was like, I don't go to people's funerals. Like, I don't do death. But God, if something happened to you, I would actually go to your funeral. That was like my sign of love.
Like, that's hilarious.
I love you like a friend. You know what I mean? Once you're gone or somebody tells me you're gone, I'm gonna believe it. I don't need to see it.
It's very true. Yeah, she doesn't view bodies and
oh,
all
yeah,
that kind
I don't
of
do
stuff.
All that. Listen,
I have to see your body. Mm-mm. Like, I have to come up to the casket and look at you for like a good 3 minutes straight.
No
and
way.
If your chest rises, I'm gonna be like, you're lying, you're faking.
No way. I am not looking at you at all.
You need to be
all.
Dead, dead.
Yeah, I don't look at nobody.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. You go, I just believe. Oh, you're not here no more. When I don't get no more phone, I'm gonna know you just not here. I get it.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
I only deal with the living. I'm the one that, God forbid, something happens to somebody in the hospital and that last breath is taken. I'm the one backing out, reversing out the door and closing the door and hightailing out the room.
Holy cow.
Down the hallway. Yeah, nah. I don't deal with it.
It's true. No, it's very true. She does not.
I already told him, God forbid, that day comes for you. I'm like, yo, your best friend's going to have to handle all the things. And just,
he will.
I'll be there. The casket better be closed. I've grown up, at least I'll go to a service now. You know what I mean? But the casket got to be closed. I ain't looking at you. You good? You done. You're done.
Literally, you're done. You're done. Well, nobody wants to see you well done. We want to see people medium rare.
I want to see breath and body. That's it.
That's hilarious.
Moving on. So in the car, driving,
we're having a whole philosophical discussion about the difference between love and in love. I mean, if you died, I'd cry. I may shed a tear.
This is what I told him.
In love? And I'm just sitting there like, Lord Jesus. Yeah.
I just couldn't believe it.
The card says what it says. I said what I said. I ain't taking it back.
I could not believe it.
And I did remind you, in the same way I told you that I liked you, yep, and I did not need you to tell me back,
yep,
or I wasn't looking for that.
Yep.
I just needed you to know I was in love with you.
He made it
very
clear.
You just needed to know that.
That's what he said.
Do with it what you will. But
now you could attest to this. I did not do anything to lead you on.
Ever.
I did not do anything to give any indication that
ever
I was teasing you.
Ever.
Leading nothing.
Ever. No flirting.
So, nope.
Never complimented me like in a way of like, oh, you look handsome today. You,
yeah, never. Oh my,
you got it going. Never. None of that.
Nothing. When he told me that he liked me, I never said, oh, I like you back. Never said that.
Never.
When he told me he was in love with me, I never was like, oh, I love you back. I don't give in to peer pressure. So I did not feel like, oh, because he said it, I got to tell him. I'm very honest. I'm a very honest person.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm not going to do is lie to you.
Period.
I'm just not going to lie to you. It's not a thing that I do. And so there was nothing that I did that him being in my presence that I was ever going to lie or he was ever going to be deceived about my actions. We were very clear. Mm-hmm. I was very clear with him the whole time. And that was me not leading him on, me not, you know, giving him mixed feelings or mixed emotions. So this ride in the car to take him home was like, yo, I mean, I love you strongly. I'm not in love with you. I love you like a good friend.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in love with you like I want to marry and be with you.
That's exactly right.
Right?
That's what you
and
said.
But that was the thing. I never wanted to be married. I had saw all the stuff that my mom went through being married. I was like, I ain't gonna take care of no man like that. And he can wash his own clothes. I'm like, nah, I ain't doing all that. You know, like I was not about to be doing all that. I'm good. I'll have boyfriends all day. I ain't commit. I'm not committing myself to you. And then don't even think about putting me in a role of like, this is your duties and that. Now I'm way too independent. I'm way too,
entrepreneurial.
Very too entrepreneurial. Like, yep, don't classify me. So I wasn't about to try to get with nobody that was like, okay, well, this is your role and this is your duty and this is what you can and can't do. What? Nah, I am the wrong chick for that. So I was like, yeah, nah, if that's what marriage is going to be like, bye. You know what I mean? And my dad was never that way. He was never gender roles or anything like that. But my mom went through a lot with him. So I was like, yeah, if this is what marriage is about, deuces all day.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, yo, man, I love you as a really good friend. And this entire ride, it's this whole philosophical conversation. I'm like, I'm not in love with you, but I do love you strongly. But I'm not in love with you. But, you know, thank you. You know, that was what I knew. I'm 19.
Yeah.
And so I drop him off. Okay. We reach to his apartment. I drop him off. What mm-hmm. happens then?
You drop me off because I ain't got no car and I ain't got no job. I have tube goodness. Socks that are up to my ankle with some sandals
with
on
some sandals
and I
on.
Have a mini fro with no hairline. This is news to me. This is my first time hearing all of this from her. No, I'm just playing.
You I'm see, about to say
no, I'm just playing, baby. I'm just playing. So she drops me off and the next day, it was already... we had already planned that the next day that we were going to
go to Olive Garden.
Yeah, we're just going to hang out at Olive Garden.
Yeah, we're going to go eat. Yeah, that's what we did.
That was already on the thing. It wasn't like after that, like, hey, I just told you I love you. You don't love me back. Want to go to Olive Garden tomorrow?
No.
It was something.
We were already friends and it didn't change our friendship at all.
Mm-mm, it never did. It never changed our friendship.
No.
It never did.
Nothing. We just was like, I ain't in love with you.
It's like,
we're still going out tomorrow?
You know? Yeah. Like, that's like, yeah, we are. So we go to It's big facts, bro.
It is big facts because we were friends.
Yeah, we were very good friends.
That's what happens when you're a friend.
Yeah, that's what happens. Yeah, absolutely.
So I dropped him off.
Yep.
We had a day. All right, I'll see you tomorrow.
Yep, that's right. So she picks me up again because I ain't got no job and I ain't got no car and I got tube socks up to my ankle.
And no hairline.
And no hairline with a mini fro and some slippers on. This is the only thing I can see about myself at this now that she's painted this very vivid description. I didn't have nothing else to wear and a barber was not in DFW at all. So
I had asked him about that hairline one day and he was like, yeah, you know, people don't do my hairline right, so I just don't have it. And I was like, man, that's... But you got to imagine, I've been cutting hair.
Julia's been a barber for so long since
I was like 15.
1,000 years.
It's the first thing I look at on every man, but then I have to look really fast because I don't want any woman thinking I want their man. So I just be like...
That part.
And then I got to look away and be like, can I fix that fade?
Julia. Yes.
I can get that man. That edge up is not tight. Who gave this man a parking lot? This is a parking lot. What is this doing here? So I know I'm constantly judging men's hair.
It's true. It's very true.
I got to do it really fast and I do it internally.
So funny.
So when he was okay with his non-hairline, I was just yo.
It just sounds worse when you talk about it.
Because
she's a barber.
Because I'm a barber. That's the only
thing. That's the way it sounds.
Yeah. That's
it's just like a doctor saying, man, we continued to be friends, but they were still comfortable with their morbid obesity, and it just gave me very, very uncomfortable feelings. What? Okay,
no.
Whatever.
All right.
So we go meet. She picks me up. We go to Olive Garden the next day, right off 183.
It used to be
off 183. It's been like several restaurants since then, but it was Olive Garden back then.
Yep.
Chilling at the Olive Garden. And
So we park. Yeah, we park the car.
Uh-huh.
And then we walk in.
Uh-huh.
Did I hold your hand walking in?
No.
I didn't hold your hand walking
in. Oh, no, I remember that. Oh,
okay. Yeah, I didn't hold his hand walking in.
You did not.
Okay.
And so we walk in, we sit down. I have on a hat. And she says, take your hat off. And I'm thinking it's like a take your hat off at the table. And I'm like, okay. I guess you want to see this hairline. No, I wasn't thinking that because I didn't know. But you know, I take my hat off and I'm like, oh, okay. And, you know, I'm looking at the menu and then she just looks at me and she goes, you are so handsome. When are we getting married? I was... stupefied. I was in suspended animation.
He was.
I put my head on the table. I literally, my forehead just went down and touched the table.
For like 5 minutes. It was the longest.
And she's just giggling. And in my mind, I'm like, what the hell happened? I'm like, what the hell? I was like,
this is true. This is big facts.
I was stupefied. I couldn't connect no dots. It wasn't like, I knew you liked me. Like, girl, you was playing hard. I was like, where did that come from? Why did she say that? Why did she just say that? Did she mean that? Did she just say I was handsome? Did she just say, when are we getting married? Listen, I was so thrown. And she was just a giggling like she is right now. I was just so disoriented.
Yeah.
That's all I had.
That was it.
That was it.
Because I hadn't spoken to him since the night before. The only thing he knew was like what time I was coming to get him. Mm-hmm. So it was like I'm on my way. And so there was nothing. The last thing we talked about was, I ain't in love with you.
Yeah. Noah, come real quick. Keep talking, baby.
Oh, okay.
I'm just realizing that I'm misrepresenting you because I'm ashy.
Are you?
Yeah, I see
can't
it.
See
it's
it
dry.
From you. All right.
I don't like it.
I don't, yeah. We don't
need
ash.
Can you bring me
my
Nivea, please? Thank you, baby.
We are an ash-free family.
Yeah. I don't know. That never happens, but.
Baby, do you remember we were meeting with somebody? And we were doing a counseling session with this big person. I am so anti-ash, y'all. When I tell you I can't stand.
I have to tell this story.
Don't say the name of the person.
I'm not going to say the name of the person.
They would know who it was.
And they'll know who it is if they listen to this. And that's okay. Thank you, baby.
I do not play when it comes to ass.
So this person is going through a tension in their marriage. And there's like a little support group of people, me, Juliet, and another couple, just kind of talking to this individual.
This is like a major person, y'all.
And while we're talking, Julia just gets up and walks away. And I don't know where she goes. And it wasn't like a noticeable, like, hey, where are you going? It's like, maybe she went to the restroom. Maybe she went to go get some. We don't know. She comes back and pumps like 3 squirts of lotion into her hand and rubs it together and starts putting it on the person that was ashy. She didn't like hand them the lotion. She started lotioning the person.
Had to.
And she was like, yeah, we're not going to be able to just sit here.
I just couldn't do it. And I had to just rub his hands down. And he was like, oh, you going to get, yeah. He was like, I'm sorry. I was like, yeah, handle it, please. And then we moved on and everything was great. Anyway,
y'all
thanks, babe.
Y'all can see the difference.
Yes, I didn't notice it.
Look at that.
Oh, yes. Good job, honey.
Yeah, we do not.
I love you so much.
I will not misrepresent
you. I love
you
so much. You're so great. You're good to me. All right, so here's the other side of that. So after that night so here's what happened to me. And as you all know now, I don't say anything that I don't mean. And all this time...
25 years, I know that.
Yeah, very honest. All this time, he was a friend to me. I was not in love with him. I loved him as a great friend. That's really what it was. So we have to rewind back the story. I drop him off that night that I just told him I'm not in love with him and like I love you as a friend. That was it. I drop him off, and I have about a 20-minute ride home to where I lived.
Yeah, I lived in Irving, and she lived in Carrollton.
Yeah, those were the people who live in Texas. So I had about a 20-minute drive home.
Somebody in the Bronx is like, I don't care.
Exactly. The people that are not in Texas
Somebody
do
in
not
Montana
care.
Is like, and?
Get to the point. Right. So, y'all, this is a true story. You can believe it or not, but this is what happened to me. I'm driving home. It's dark, and I have my music on. And maybe, 8 to 10 minutes go by. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, I promise you, I hear these words that just said, you love him. And I was like a fleeting thought, like, yeah, no, I don't. No, I don't. And then so I turned the music up a little bit louder because that voice was a little loud. It was a little loud. And I was like, I turned my music up a little louder and I kept driving. And then a few minutes later, I hear this voice really loud say, you love him. And so I turned the music down. I mean, the voice was so loud as if it was amplified in a microphone. And I turn the music down. I'm a little scared. I'm looking in the car like somebody's in the car with me. So I'm driving. I'm looking in the back seat like, who's in the back seat? Who's in this car with me? And so I'm like, yo, I start praying because I'm like, I got a little scared. Like, what is happening?
Oh, my goodness.
So then a few minutes later. Because after I heard the second time, I was like, no, I'm not. Like, I responded to this nothing. Then I was like, who am I talking to? Going crazy. So I keep driving, and I hear this voice again so loud. And it says, Juliet, you are in love with him. And I was like, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. And then I burst into tears. And I was like, no, I'm not in love with him. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. What I am in love with him. And I started crying tears. And then I was like, I'm leaking. What is this?
the best.
Oh, you guys got to know I love the Grinch movie. Oh, my goodness. So, you know, again.
Oh, my gosh.
You guys may have heard me, you know, say I'm not really, I don't shed tears a lot. You know, it has to be something so massive. You know, I don't cry a lot. So that's that's not my first go-to. I'm like, suck it up, cupcake. What are you crying for? Yep. You know? And so that's how you know this was the Lord, because I am like gushing. And I was like, what is happening to me? And then that little hard heart was just getting bigger. It was getting bigger. And so I'm literally weeping. And I promise you all, at that moment, it was truly like the scripture says, scales fell off of Saul's eyes and he could see. I was literally in that moment. I was in love with him like I had, as if I had always been in love with him. But I wasn't. Just that point. This really weird revelation. I know that may sound crazy. That is my story. That's what happened. So I was like,
Holy Spirit with the riz.
He came through. Clutch man, right?
Holy Spirit with the riz.
Oh, what do you call it? The wingman.
The wingman. Yes.
So at that moment, I was in love with him. And I was like, this is weird. I've never felt this feeling before. Everything was new. It was like night and day. So I get home. I'm in this sort of like, okay, what do I do? I can't tell my mother she's going to flip out because she didn't really care for Tim, because Tim had no job at the time.
And I had on sandals my calves
he
with some sandals.
He didn't have a hairline.
I have a mini fro with a hairline. No job, no car.
Yeah, because any mother, you know, this is any
big
parent.
Facts.
Doesn't matter the situation. They don't want their kid or father. They don't want a girl dating or in you know, with a guy that would seem like they don't have nothing going for them.
Yeah, for sure.
You don't got no job. How can you support? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's
going to
be the first thing. Practical things.
Yeah, practical stuff.
So, you know, she was just kind of like, now she liked the other guys that liked me and that had come over. She's like, Juju, what about so-and-so? But she had said to me, yeah, I hope you don't like the Tim guy. You know, at the time, that was so many years ago. I hope you don't like the Tim guy. And so I was like, oh, I can't tell her. You know what I mean? That this has happened. I can't say anything to her. And so there was a couple in my life. They were like, you know, when I first got to Texas, they kind of walked with me because I was only 17 when I moved to Texas. I was by myself. And they kind of took me under their wing. And so I called her. And I was like, I think I call her the next day. So I call her the next day. That night I had to figure out a plan. And so my plan was, okay, I'm not going to say anything to him. I knew we had the date to Olive Garden. I was like, I'm going to tell him there. And so I didn't say anything to him. Don't call him, nothing. And the next day I called, you know, this lady. And she was like, well, okay, you know, I'd like to meet him. And I was like, all right, you know. And so I knew my mother didn't like him. So I didn't, not like that. She didn't like him like she would want me to date him. So I was like, I couldn't tell her because she'd be like, oh, mm-hmm, you know, disappointed. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, I want to make sure I'm not tripping. So that's why I called this lady. And so she was like, okay, well, just tell him, you know, and just see where it goes. Just take your time, blah, blah, blah. And I want to meet him. Okay, cool. So I was like, all right, I'm going to tell him today at when we go on our date. So I let the date go and I'm like, all right, cool. How am I going to do it? I'm going to pick him up and then that's just going to be it. Like, I'm going to tell him. And I was like, in my head was just like, yo, I love this guy. Like, I want to be with him. And so I go, I pick him up. Hey, you know, pick him up. We drive over to Olive Garden. We go in. He sits at the table. And, you know, like he said earlier, he had this hat on. And I was like, take your hat off. Because I saw him differently now. Mm. Right? I had him take his hat off because I just wanted to see him differently. I love when he wears hats. I've always loved it. But I had to see him in a different way. Because the last time I saw him, you know, like,
this
I wanted.
This is just her friend.
It was just her friend.
Yeah.
So it was like, take your hat off. Let me just see all of you. And then I just began to look at him, you know, and it is like is this truly real? You know, like, is this legit? And so I was like, take your hat off. And then I was like, what was my words?
Your words were, you are so handsome.
You are so handsome.
When are we getting
married? That's mm-hmm. right. And at that moment, he was to me.
Bless you.
Bless you, Sam. He looked different to me. I looked at him differently, and he was handsome to me. And it was like, oh, I see you. You know what I mean? I see you now in a very different way. And it was like, okay, well, you just told me you was in love with me. I know I'm in love with you now. All right, when are we getting married? Like, why are we about to waste time? Like, if this we know we're about to do, let's go. When are we going to get married? Because at this point now, what are we talking about? Why are we going to have a long engagement and then go through? When are we going to get married? Let's go. If this is what we're going to do. And so, and then that was the dynamic. And at that moment, I was in love with him from the night before that car ride home. Mm-hmm. But I just held it together.
Yep.
Until, and then we talked about it. He was like, what? Where did this come from?
Yeah. I was shocked.
Yeah.
Shocked.
And I had to explain it to him. And I was like, I know this story sounds crazy, but this is what happened. This is exactly what happened. And I held his hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then all the affection started.
Absolutely.
Then all the affection started. And it was authentic. Yes. And I meant it.
Yes.
And it wasn't like, it was real.
That first kiss. Oh my goodness. I went up into my apartment and I took a napkin and I like perfectly took off that lipstick, and she had a lip liner she used to wear around.
You know, ladies, we had lip liners back in the 90s.
Yep.
And you gotta line them up.
And I kept that thing.
You did? He kept it for a long time.
I kept that thing for a long time. That first kiss meant something to me, and it was good too. That was a good first kiss. I was like, yeah, buddy.
This is how we do it.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly how we did it.
So now.
So that's June. That was actually June 22nd. That Monday was June 22nd.
That Monday was June 22nd. Uh-huh.
And then we set up a time to meet with your friend.
Yep.
And mentor. We met at Luby's.
We met at Luby's. Yeah. Who remembers Luby's?
Yeah, we met at Luby's
cafeteria. We ate there every Sunday after church.
She just wanted to like meet me, and I wasn't nervous or anything. I've always been kind of just me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I was just like, this is who I am, and this is the reality of my life right now. You know what I mean? I'm trying to get a job. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I want to marry this woman. Da 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 da. And then,
now him having no job didn't bother me. It really didn't. Because you can always get a job. And he was young too. You know, he was trying to figure it out. But you can, again, material things weren't anything that that bothered me. I never wanted to be married. That was legitimate. I didn't want to. But I love the Lord first and foremost. So he is my number one. And my relationship and my anchor is in the Lord. And so I said to him, I don't want to get married. But if you want me to be married, I'm not going to give you no list of things and make it plain. Like, you know, I've always, have you ever heard in church, brother, make a list, tell the Lord who you want.
Yeah.
I'm not telling him that. He knows. Yeah. He knows what I need. You know what I mean? Why am I going to tell him what I want from a very limited perspective? He knows everybody on this entire planet. I have a small scope of the places I've seen and the people I've seen. And then I've got to make a judgment off of that. This is who I want and how I want it to look. And he has a broader perspective view of the people he created. And so I'm about to tell him what I want based on this small narrative that I've seen. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And so, no, it is, Lord, who do you want from me? And I'm not about to insert my narrow perspective of what I think I should have based on my poor visual, you know, scope and judgment.
When you talk like this, it really turns me on. Keep going.
But it's the truth. So, you know, I hate when people say, write it down and make it plain. God's not stupid. I'm not telling him what I want. Who do you want from me?
It's good.
Right? And if you want me to be married, if I had to have a request, my only request is that, Lord, I don't want anybody that doesn't love you first. Mm-hmm. I said, I want him to love you with all of his heart, mind, and strength. I only request that he treats me like a queen. Like, I don't want to be treated like scum, less than, or dismissed. Like, I just want to be treated like a queen. And I said, and that he wouldn't be afraid to show his emotions. Like, let's talk about things. Like, let's, that was my request. Like, Lord, if you want, nothing was material. Nothing was, he got to be 5'9". You know, he got to be, you know, 5'10 and tall. He got to have this X amount of money. And he better be able to find me. No, that's fleeting. Okay. That can come and go. All right. His teeth got to be straight. I talked to so many women. You know, they got all these hangups. And that's why a lot of them ain't married now. They got all these hangups of why. That's why a lot of people are single now. And men too. They got all these. This girl got to be this. And he got to be that. I was like, y'all are superficial. That's why y'all aren't married. Mm. You're superficial. And if you start being honest with yourself, you will realize, yeah, I'm selfish and I'm superficial. Because if he ain't got this, this, and that, then guess what? You're going to be single. Be happy by yourself. Bottom line. Mm. So anyway, as we move on, I don't know how this we got off on
this.
This
message has been brought to you by the Bronx, New York.
Maybe so, but you know, sometimes I get passionate about it. I get so frustrated because I get these things all the time.
Mm-hmm. No, it's very true.
You know,
and everybody always asking you about stuff.
Everybody's
like
always asking me about relationship stuff, and I'm like, your perspective is off. It's all about perspective.
Yeah, for sure.
And you don't want to let go of your perspective.
Yep.
You don't want to be open to anything else.
Yeah, for sure.
So I don't want to hear your gripe.
Yeah.
And if I want to throw this in there too, you may not be all that great yourself.
Yeah. Maybe your baby hairs are crusty.
Maybe your baby hairs are not real baby hairs and they're teenagers and you keep trying to hold on to them.
Oh, snap.
They way down here.
Whoa.
They're teenagers.
Oh. It's no longer baby hair.
They have grown up.
Lord, have mercy. That message brought to you by...
Oh, my gosh.
Flatbush. Oh my God.
It's the truth though. I'm not lying.
You're not
either
lying.
Way.
Yeah.
My point is, and I'm not talking about physical attributes. I'm really talking about, are you arrogant?
Yeah, for sure.
Are you picky?
Yeah.
Are you, you know, like,
yeah, for sure.
Check ourselves and yeah. We always are quick to judge these men. Mm-hmm. Or these men are quick to judge these girls, mm-hmm. but they haven't checked themselves and really you might not really be the greatest thing that you think you are.
Yeah. Beauty is literally skin deep.
That's all it is.
Like, I have seen some of the most beautiful, physically attractive people be the ugliest people in the whole world.
So ugly.
And there is no amount of beauty that can eclipse an ugly heart.
That's right.
It's impossible.
That's right. And we live in such a... social media, just a society where it's this physical beauty where everybody wants to attain to.
Yeah.
And they are doing that, but these people are so ugly inside, or mm-hmm. some people are so depressed inside, mm-hmm. or they have such anxiety inside that they don't want to show that, but that's the real who they are.
Well, there's not enough Brazilian butt lifts
nothing
in the world
no
to uplift an insecure heart.
No, not at all.
There's not enough breast augmentations in the world.
Lip plumps. Eyebrow adjustments.
Eyebrows. Tummy tucks. You can get all the outward fixed up, but if you're an ugly person, it doesn't even matter.
And if you don't start addressing the things that's making your insides ugly.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's what's really sad about it. So that's what I mean by, you know, you got to check you. You got all these prerequisites that you want in this person that you telling the Lord, they got to have this, 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 and that. Okay, why do you have all these prerequisites? Have you been hurt by somebody?
Mm-hmm.
Have you been, you know, has this type of person, you know, so are you now running away from that type of person that he got to be exactly like this? God knows how to bring you the person if you're mm-hmm. just open to him. And so I saw Timmy differently. And, so it was like, okay, let's move forward. And so from there, it was like, oh, now we're dating, right? So we were like, I think we still at that point never made anything official. Like, we never said, now we're dating.
Yeah, no,
like,
no,
it
no.
It was just like, it just
was. The friendship just kept on, like.
Moving into that.
It was just like a metamorphosis. It just kept
evolving
and transforming into the next phase of it.
Yes. Yeah.
So, go ahead.
No, I just want to say, that's who God brought me. I didn't ask for anything physical, but he brought me a person that loved him with all of his heart and mind and soul. He answered the prayer of, he treated me like a queen and loved me like a queen. He even said it in the poem, now that I'm thinking about it. He said, I will treat you like a queen.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's definitely not afraid to show his emotions. You know, you see him crying all the time. And he's been like that.
Yeah, for sure.
And so that was my only like, Lord. So those to me were heart conditions in which I said that to the Lord. And I know he wouldn't have brought me anybody less than that. He wouldn't have not brought somebody that way.
Right.
Anyway.
Yep.
And so from there, what did we do?
From
the
there,
next 30 days.
Yeah. So the next 30 days is when I proposed to you. Mm-hmm. So June is when, you know, I told you I loved you. And then the next day you told me that you were in love with me as well. And then July is when I proposed to you.
Yep.
I took you. Well, you
it's
took
like 30
me.
30-day increments.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I didn't, listen, I didn't have a job. I didn't have a car. I'm trying to get on my feet and all this kind of stuff. But I told the Lord, I'm like, I cannot give this girl like no promise ring, or I got to put a ring on it. And I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to do it. And I asked this dude from the church. I'm like, hey, bro, will you take me to the Redbird Mall? I know they tried to clean it up and call it the Southwest Center or something else now. It was the Redbird Mall, fam, off of 20. I said,
for those who live in Texas.
For those who live in Texas. I was like, can you take me to the Redbird Mall, man? I got to get a ring. I feel like I'm supposed to get Juliet a ring. And I was like, it's a faith move, man, because I ain't got no job. But I'm going to try to get a ring. So I go to takes me to the Redbird Mall. I was almost calling it the Southwest new place. It was Redbird back then. So he takes me to the Redbird Mall. I pop out the car. He don't even get out the car with me. He just like, you know, maybe he thought I was going to come back in like 5 minutes. Like, man, I told you we wasn't going to get no ring. But I jump out the car and I walk into a Zales. And in our conversations, I catch a lot of stuff in conversation. I catch most of the stuff in conversation. I don't know where that comes from. I think it was maybe I wanted to be in law enforcement, but I hear everything people say. I may not respond to it or comment on it or highlight it, but I'm like, duly noted, I heard what you said. And one day in conversation,
we were watching a commercial, huh?
Yeah, yeah, we were on the phone, but the TV was on in the background, and there was something about some rings, and she was just saying, I hate Marquise diamonds. Mm-hmm. She was like, they're such ugly rings. And I was like, okay,
so old-fashioned and dated.
Yeah. She was just making a comment about the ring she saw. It wasn't like a hint. She wasn't dropping a hint. She was just like, or were you?
No.
Yeah. I didn't think so. Yeah. So I was like, and so she was like, yeah, I like princess cuts better. Wait, because it's Marquise time. This is old fashioned. Princess cuts are better. Duly noted. Princess cut. I don't even know what a princess cut diamond is. All I know is princess cut. So we're together now and we're in love with each other. And I'm like, so I walk in there. I'm like, I need a princess cut diamond. He starts showing me all these diamonds. I don't know what I'm looking at. And he's talking about clarity and this is clarity, this and this is VVS1 and this is VVS and this is SS1, this is S1, all this kind of stuff. And even though these are some big diamonds, but they're cloudier, got more imperfections, but this diamond right here is actually smaller, but the clarity is it's a pure diamond. It's gonna shine brighter. I'm like, I want that one. So he cleaned it up and brought me like this paperwork to fill out. For the financing, and I filled out my name and my address. I kept all the job information blank, and that was pretty much all the information I could put on there, right? And so he came back after polishing the diamond, and he was like, you have to finish filling out the your form. And I was like, man, that's it.
That's all I got for you.
I was like, bro, I'm so sorry, that's all I got right now, man. You know. And he looked at me and he looked at that paper and he walked to the back, said nothing, just walked to the back. And I literally was like, he about to call the security, come get me. Like, he probably want me out of here. And he was gone for like maybe 2 or 3 minutes. Dude comes back, And he said, I know the look of love, my friend. You pay me when you get your job. Go find your love. And he let me leave with that ring. So about 2 or 3 weeks later, Jew came to pick me up. That's the theme of this season. Jew's picking me up, right? my homie lover has now started picking me up. By the way, I just want everybody to know up front, we did not have sex until we were married.
That's right.
So
just throw that in there.
I just want to throw that in there right now. Because when I say lover, maybe people think we was fornicating for a minute.
Nah.
We was not. So she picked me up and we went down to, I know now, disclaimer, I know people from that are not from Texas won't know this, but we were down in Las Clinas and we went to go see the horses down there. And then we crossed the street to the Mandalay Canal, went up to the Watchtower. Mm-hmm. And I was so nervous. My heart was pounding through my chest. So nervous to propose. And I was right about, we were at the Watchtower and I was about to propose. And I had taken the box with the ring out and put it in my right hand, kind of palmed it where she couldn't see it. And right when I was about to get on my knee, she was like, I'm thirsty. Let's go.
That didn't sound like that.
Baby, you were like, I'm thirsty. We got to go. And you grabbed me by the hand. And I was like, oh, God. And so we started moving. I was like, Jesus. Oh, good Lord. I tucked that thing back in my pocket so quick. I'm like, oh, okay. Okay. We leave it. And so we were standing
there for so long.
We were just looking. And yeah. I was stalling. I was trying to, you know, get my heart from my blood pressure was up.
I
was trying to get my heart regulated. I didn't know to breathe or nothing. Right. So we come back down the stairs and we're walking back over the Smith's Landing Bridge. And I'm like, soon as we got up to the top of it, we were walking up. As soon as we got to the crest where the top was, this is a full moon. It's a picturesque night.
Yeah, it was picture perfect.
We're on this bridge, the canal, the moonlight is dancing off the water in the canal.
It's like a mini replica of an Italian.
Yeah, like where a gondola would go or whatever. I'm like, man, this is the spot. I was like, babe, can we just stop for a minute? She was like, what?
I was like, bro, I'm hungry.
Yeah, I'm hungry. I'm thirsty.
We had been there for quite some time.
Yeah, yeah, we did. Yeah. We did a lot of walking. And so I was like, just give me a minute. And I'm like, man, we got to go now. I can't stall another 5 minutes. And so I just got down on my knee. And when I did, her eyes got so wide, like,
what is you doing?
What is you doing? And I got on my knee and I opened up that ring and again, expressed my love some more. Mm-hmm. And she she wasn't looking at me. She was looking through me. That's how it felt to me. It literally felt like you were looking through me like, God, just give me one reason to say no. I'll do it politely, but like, I do not want to say yes to you if this ain't what I'm supposed to do right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and after I...
It was a long stare.
It was a long stare. It was a very long stare.
Yeah.
And I proposed to her, will you marry me? And she's looking and she was like... I'm scared... But yes, those were her four words. Most people get three. She said yes. Mine was four. I'm scared, but yes.
It was honest.
It was very honest. You've always been honest. Very honest. And so.
I was not expecting that at all. Yeah. I definitely wasn't expecting that. Damn. Although 30 days prior, I was like, when are we getting married? It was really.
Yeah, it was like sometime in the future. Yeah.
Yeah, not even thinking about it. So I was definitely quite surprised. But I also, too, was looking for every red flag. Like, it was like, Lord, is this you? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. I'm not trying to do this 9,000 times.
I ain't trying to do it twice.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm not for trying sure.
Is this really what you want?
Yeah,
you
absolutely. Know?
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we did that, and... That ring was on that finger.
Well, yeah, and you kept saying, if you say no now.
Uh-huh, the ring's going to get bigger.
I'm going to wait another year, and the ring is going to get bigger.
That's exactly right.
And if you say no then.
That's exactly right.
Uh-huh, you said, if you say no again, I'll wait some more time, and the ring gets bigger.
That's exactly right.
And I'm not a I've never been a
materialistic girl.
Never been a materialistic girl. And so it definitely wasn't about the ring. And so I was like, I don't need no bigger ring, you know? And so, and I didn't want him to think, oh, I'm going to wait 2 years just to increase in size. Let me see if I can get to 2 carats. You know, it wasn't that. I really wanted to make sure this was God.
Yeah. Yeah. So I put the ring on her finger and we kissed and we started, you know.
Then I had to go into deep intercession.
Oh, absolutely. Because she was going to have to tell her family.
Yeah,
holy
cow. Tell my family. And I was like,
holy cow.
And
this, she not only fell in love with the deadbeat.
Not a deadbeat. You weren't close to it.
Now he's going to marry her? He ain't got no job. He ain't got no car. He wears tube socks up to his knees with sandals and a mini afro. No hairline. Lord God.
One day he came to.
I raised her better than this.
One day Timmy came over and he had a coat on, some shorts. This was before. This is just when we were friends. He had a coat, a jacket, some shorts, them white tube socks, some sandals.
I'm from Cali, man.
He had an afro and just no hairline. And I asked him, he was like, yeah, no, they just don't do it right. And I just couldn't get past it. I was like, man, that hairline is taking me out. And
she's been my barber ever since.
It was so funny. But anyway, at this point now, it was like, okay, you know, it was just me and my mom, right? My sisters were away. They were married already. And I had to convince them. So I prayed. I said, Lord, we prayed. And Tim came up with the most simplest prayer. He said, Lord, if this is you, mm-hmm. bring us closer together. Mm-hmm. If this is not you, break us up.
Absolutely.
That was the prayer.
And I want to give context to that.
Yeah.
That was my grandfather's prayer over my dad was dating a woman. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to marry her. And he went to my grandfather and said, would you pray over us? And my grandfather literally said, mm-hmm. literally, what you just said, Lord, if this is you, let it work. If not, break him up. He broke up with that woman two weeks later or something like that.
Yeah.
And that's when he met my mom.
Yep.
And he prayed the same prayer with my dad and mom, and they've been married for, this year will be 49 years.
Yeah.
And so that's the same prayer that we prayed. That's the prayer I pray for everybody that we would do premarital counseling with.
Yep.
Like, if this is you, let it work. If not, break them up.
That's it.
The kindest thing you could do.
That's right.
If I'm not supposed to be with this person.
Then save me from them.
Save me.
That's right.
From them. Yes, Lord.
So, and we prayed that prayer honestly.
Yeah, we did.
It was an
not
honest,
like a crossing fingers like.
And we're going to make this work.
Yeah, we're going to make it work regardless.
Right.
No, if this wasn't my wife, I would have cried a river. And then I would accept it God's will.
Yeah.
Absolutely correct.
That's what you got to do. And so we prayed that prayer wholeheartedly and honestly.
Yep.
Yeah, and if this wasn't going to work and we broke up, then Lord, we knew that it was you and we missed it.
Yep.
But if not, bring us closer together.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the prayer that we prayed. And he just, nothing drifted, nothing departed, nothing drifted, nothing separated, nothing tore at the seams.
Yep.
And so then I had to pray, okay, Lord, if this is you, you got to change my mother's heart. You know what I mean? And you gotta work it out with my family. That was it.
Yeah, for sure.
That was all I prayed. Yeah. I said, Lord, you're going to have to do it. I'm going to know too.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Because if they're fully against it, then we have an issue.
Yep.
And so we prayed that prayer, what was it? July?
Yeah, July. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And then So I did tell my mother that we got engaged and she wasn't very happy and the family wasn't very happy. And my siblings, you know, your family, you're too young to get married. And what do you think you're doing?
That haunty voice.
I know it was haunting.
They were haunting you.
I know. Well, it's stressful, right? Because you want your family to be happy for you. So it's stressful at the time.
Want them to.
Yeah, you want them to.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I love my family. So we're all very close. And so, So anyways, and they were, everybody was good about it, but I knew that, you know, I knew that they just weren't happy yet. So that was the prayer we prayed.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, I don't know what happened. One day in October, so this was July,
mm-hmm.
right? We prayed our prayer. So July, August, September mm-hmm. came. Everything was very gentle, like nothing. We just kept things easy and light.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't like making wedding arrangements. Mm-mm. We didn't do anything.
Mm-mm.
We did nothing.
Mm-mm.
Then in October.
And nobody at the church knew.
And nobody at the church knew.
Nobody at the church knew we were engaged.
No. Nobody mm-hmm. knew. I didn't tell anybody.
Mm-mm.
And so I'm very private, mm-hmm. very, very private. I didn't tell anybody. And two, you know, you want to make sure it's the Lord.
Yeah, for sure.
It's like being very careful in the first trimester of pregnancy.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely being, correct.
You got to be very ginger.
Yeah.
So one day in October, or was it September, my mother was like, okay, when do we start to plan like the wedding? And she was like, how's Tim doing? And when am I going to see my son-in-law? And it was like this turnaround, like kind of how I had after I dropped him off.
It's crazy, yo.
It was so crazy. And I was like, what? I was so shocked. And she was like, she was genuinely excited and happy and like, okay. And accepting. And then my sisters were, I don't know what happened. I was like, thank you, Jesus. This is the Lord.
Yeah.
And so then we started planning the wedding.
Yep.
And then we told the people at church.
Then we told the people.
Yeah.
We planned how we told the people at church. So yeah. this was crazy. This is way before social media, right?
Yeah.
Literally a decade and a half before social media is popping
Human
off.
Chatty Cathy's.
Human Chatty Cathy's. Juliet comes. Juliet wears her ring, her engagement ring.
She planned this.
Uh-huh. She comes into the youth group 5 minutes before church starts. She walks in and
we knew who to tell.
Uh-huh. One of them girls walked up to her and Julia said, have you seen my fiance? And their eyes were like, girl, what?
What?
They were like, who is your fiance?
Yep.
And she was like, Tim.
Yep.
And that girl went to squealing.
One person I told.
One person. Service started. Service started.
Yep.
There's no social media.
No social media.
Okay. Service starts. The service goes. Once the service is, when the dismissal happens.
You are dismissed. Go home.
Like 30 girls run up to Juliet.
Swarmed
her.
Like a pack of, like a pack of bees. Like I had honey all over me.
It was crazy.
Oh my God, let me see the ring. Oh my God, how did this happen? They were going.
We don't know how it spread. We were like, social media has been around way before.
It spread like roaches.
It did. It was crazy.
So it was really fun.
It was. And so we started planning a wedding.
And we had the funnest wedding.
We did.
It was so fun.
Yeah, because it was, we were young and all of our friends. Juliet had way too many bridesmaids.
At 13. I know.
And I only had like 5 friends. I literally told Juliet, I am not going to get just any dude just because you have so many. So she had some of her bridesmaids had to walk down with each other because I genuinely.
No, they just shared guys. So we had a guy and we had two bridesmaids.
Oh, yeah, they anchored. Yeah. I literally, like, I think I got up to like maybe 6 guys.
It was like five or six.
Yeah, 5 or 6 guys. And I was like, no. Because I've always been the type of person, like, you are either my friend.
Yeah.
But you ain't about to be in my wedding just to be a filler.
Yeah.
I only got 5 dudes I'm down with. Like, so, mm-hmm. and so we had this great wedding. My dad officiated the wedding.
The pastor's wife sung.
Yes, the pastor's wife sung. She's amazing. We love her. And
it was beautiful.
It was a beautiful, yeah.
It really was
a beautiful wedding. It was at the Dallas Arboretum. In outside. Botanical gardens,
yeah, it was
outside,
so
it was gorgeous. It was spring. It was bloom. It was beautiful. And
May 1st, an easy date for me to remember.
May 1st, 1999. Yep. We went to We had our reception at this hotel. We danced all night.
We were the last ones to leave.
We were literally
we're the first ones to go.
We were literally the last people to leave.
That dance floor. We were on that dance floor the whole
people
time.
People were saying goodbye to us and leaving. And we were still like, yup. We were still like, yup. So that was dope.
And to this day, we still be turning up in
house. Yeah, we do. Uh-huh.
Yes.
Uh-huh. That's the story, y'all.
That's our story.
That is the story. And that's the foundation we want to lay.
That's how we got started.
And obviously, right, when you're together for 24 years, there's highs and lows and ups and downs victories and defeats and celebrations and disappointments and all that kind of stuff. But we wanted you to hear the foundation, because this is the anchor.
Yep.
This is the very substratum of how we are.
Yes.
We have always been friends.
Yes, we have.
We have always told each other. Well, Juliet has always told me the truth. We'll get into my lying spell.
That's right.
Because of my addiction. So let's be clear about what I lied about. I wasn't lying about.
For sure.
Yeah, no, I lied about addiction because I was an addict, not because I wanted to be a liar. So Juliet ain't never lied. Only time Juliet lies is
celebrations. Or surprises. Yeah, surprises. Basically.
She will lie.
I will lie to keep a surprise a secret.
To keep a surprise. Other than that, you're going to get the truth whether you like it or not.
but in love and covered in grace.
Yes, absolutely. And so that's the story, y'all.
Yay.
That's all we doing today. We not doing no Q&A.
Right.
I know y'all. Listen, another episode. We about to dive into all the things.
We will.
We are very transparent and vulnerable about our marriage. The only thing that we won't share with you is something that we have not shared with our family for reasons that we have. Okay. And so what is on the table, we will put on the table. And what's not on the table, don't ask us about it, because we ain't gonna be able to tell you until we have conversations with our family and we're all in agreement that we want to have those conversations publicly. So that's my disclaimer for marriage stuff. So anyway, we love you, and we hope you enjoy.
We love you, Basement.
Yeah. Oh, you're so pretty.
Thank you, baby cakes.
This is going to be fun.
It is going to be fun.
Yeah, all these epis are going to be so dope.
Maybe I don't know. You tell me if this is too soon to push out there, definitely. But I would love to do Q&A.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, a live about relationships.
Oh, for sure.
Sometimes.
Ooh.
That'll be.
Ooh.
Relationship live. I think that'll be fun.
Done.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah. Do you guys want that? I'm here for
it. Okay. So
I love relationship stuff.
We will plan a live stream.
Yeah.
That'll be dope.
Okay. Yeah, that'll be fun.
That'll be dope.
Yeah, that would be.
And let's also throw this out here as well. If there's a couple that you have some marriage questions, or maybe you find yourself in an issue.
Yep.
And you feel comfortable to shoot us maybe like a 3-minute clip. No more than 3 minutes. It can't be no more than 3 minutes, because we can't have a whole story. But if you want to show this like a 3-minute clip of a question that you want to ask, and we can answer it, cool. And we will get to the point where we get some people actually on the Basement Live that want to tweak some marriage stuff. If you got some real hard, if you're in a really difficult spot in your marriage, my strongest advice is that you go seek a professional marriage counseling. I don't think it would be a good move or a good step for you to be on the Basement if you are in
a major crisis.
But if you just find yourself hitting some potholes in the road or some bumps in the road, and it's like, you know what, we need some tweaks so that we can get back on the same page, yo, hit that Google form, and we'll start sifting through it to see who we can have on, okay?
Yeah.
Girl, hey, it's going to be good.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it. All right. Listen, let's help as much people as we can.
We will.
And thank you guys for having me on the Basement today.
Yay, yay.
Hector and Sam, I love you boys. You guys are great.
Okay.
Thank you, Timmy.
All right. I love you, baby, much. And I love you guys. Until next time. Peace.
So press be with me, and let's let whatever go be just be.